Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Moikan, daf Ches. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned with Zeichen Nishmasel, Lupin Zaltman. We are on, we already started daf Ches yesterday, but let's go back. Let's just review, and we'll continue from where we left off yesterday. Tzeras was a big topic for yesterday. Can you go to the Kohen? Can the Kohen have office hours during Chol HaMoed so that in the event that you have Tzeras, you go to the Kohen and you'll see whether or not this is tumah or it's not tumah. So, ostensibly, the simple pshat in the Mishnah yesterday is a machlokes tanaim, machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, all those we saw yesterday, it's Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, whether or not you can go to the Kohen. So Rav Meir says, yeah, the Kohen can, you can go to the Kohen, and he can give you a psak, but only a psak lahakel, only to be makel, but not to be machmer. And the reason being, of course, is that it's Chol HaMoed, it's Simchas Yontov. And if you get the bad news that you're a mitzora on Yontov, that obviously is not going to be it's not going to be good for your Yontov. It'll stir your simcha. So therefore, you can the Kohen can render a psak, but only lahakel. Rav Yossi says no. Once you go to the Kohen, he's going to have to say something, either lahachmer or lahakel. He's going to have to say something. So therefore, Rav Yossi says, you know what? Don't go on Chol HaMoed. No office hours during Chol HaMoed at all. And you'll wait till after Chol HaMoed. Now, yesterday we did point out that the machlokas is not as simple as it was presented in the Mishnah and the Braisa, right? We said over yesterday, Rava says that there are places where they agree, places where they disagree. In terms of when you can go to a Kohen, and good, and there's more details. And so go back to yesterday's daf to when we discussed all those details. But that's the But meanwhile, however, what's clear from both Rav Yossi and from Rabbi Meir is that the Kohen doesn't have to give a psak. Meaning, you go to a Kohen, it looks like you have tzaras on your skin, and according to both positions, the Kohen basically will say to you, either he'll give you a limited psak, or that's Rav Meir Shita, or he'll just simply say, don't come now. Like, come at another point in time. So that means, basically, as the Gemara picks up, we're going to pick up right today's daf, that means basically that it's not tzaras until the Kohen says it's tzaras. Meaning, it may look like tzaras, it may behave like tzaras, it'll have all the indications of tzaras, but until the Kohen says so, it's not actually tzaras. So this is now where we're going to pick it up. We're on Zayin Amud Beis. So we did this yesterday, but let's do this again. Lememra. Let's start with the Gemara's question. Lememra, did the Kohen tell you milso? So the Gemara says, really? Everything's up to the Kohen? The Gemara says, yep, everything's up to the Kohen. That's absolutely correct. Meaning, that's not a question, it's an assertion. It's factual. That tanya with the Gemara says, we learned in the Braisa of Yom HaRoz Bo, on the day in which you present yourself to the Kohen, Yesham Shata Robo, Yesham Shiata Robo. Meaning, some days the Kohen will look at you, and some days the Kohen will just simply say, no, I'm not looking at you. Meaning, come back tomorrow. So, Mikan Amru Chasn Shanol Bonega, Nosan Lozanya Mamishta. So, let's say, for example, the Gemara gives a couple examples. One example is where the Chasn comes over to the Kohen and says, I think I have Tzaraz. Now, he's a Chasn, which means it could be the day of his wedding, could be during one of the Sheva Brachos, meaning, oh, it's during the first week of marriage. So the Kohen says, now's not a good time, now's a terrible time. Why don't you come back? In other words, let's just not look at it now, because if I look at it, I'm going to have to render psak. Could be tzara, so you know what, just not now. Come back a week from now. So Zayin Yamin Lameh Mishah Lo Leveh Soluk Suso. And it's not only true for the Chasn for his body, but it'll be true for his house, it'll be true for his clothing. Remember, three different types of tzaras. One that afflicts his body, one that afflicts his house, and one that afflicts his clothing. On all three, the Kohen's going to say to him, not now, you're during your Sheva Brachas. Come back again later. V'chein b'regel, no, it's no Shevet, Yimei HaRegel. Same thing with Yontov as well. Somebody comes over to you on Yontov, I think I have Tzaraas. Kohen says, good, not now, come back to me a week from now. So Div Rabbi Yehuda says, Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. So good, so what comes out according to Rabbi Yehuda? Exactly what we've been saying, that the Kohen could just simply delay the Psak, and in doing so, you're not a Mitzorah until the Kohen says you're a Mitzorah. Now, Rebbe Omer, Rebbe's going to say, now the way the Braisa is presented, it sounds like there's a major debate over here. There's not a major debate. We'll see in just a moment. There may be a minor debate. But Rebbe's going to basically say the same thing. Rebbe Omer, Eino Tzarech, Harei Omer, B'tzivah HaKohen, Fino Sabayis. We know that when you have Tzaras Sabayis, so the Kohen says, wait a second, you may have Tzaras in your house? Let's do the following first. Get everything out of the house. All your kelim take out of the house, because I'm going to go in there, I'm going to render a decision, and when I render a decision, and if my decision is that tzaras, so that the house is tameh, all the contents of the house are tameh. So in order to avoid this, what we'll do is we'll go into the house, we'll clear out the house. That's a pasuk in Chumash. So that clearly indicates that, again, same basic idea. It's not tameh until the Kohen says it's tameh. So imam tin lo dvar rishus, kol shekin lo dvar mitzvah. And now Rebbe makes what is called a kal v'chomer, the logical argument. If we're going to save your house, meaning save the contents of your house, so that's not a mitzvah, that's dvar rishus, that's financial. If the Kohen is going to delay his psak for financial reasons, so for sure if it's a mitzvah, like chasam, like regal, so for sure the Kohen's going to delay his psak as well. Okay, that's the kal v'chomer, that's the logical argument of Rebbe. They're both basically saying the same, and that the Kohen, that you're not going to be a mitzorah, your clothing is not going to have tsaras, your house is not going to have tsaras, until the Kohen says so. Now, the way the Braisa presents itself, it sounds like there's a major debate over here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rebbe, and as we just saw, there really isn't. My Beinayu, so that's what the Gemara is asking. Is there a difference between them? Amar Abaye Mashmas Dorshe Mika Beinayu. So Abaye says, Pshan Psukim. Meaning, no, there's really no practical debate between the two. It's just a question of how to understand the Psukim. Okay, good. That's the Abaye's understanding of the Machlokas, meaning it's not a Machlokas. It's interpretation of Psukim, but that's it. Rava Amar Dvar HaRishus Yikim Beinayu. Now, Rava says, no, there is a major difference between the two of them, and that's Dvar HaRishus. Rabbi Yehuda mehasam lo gaminam dechidashu. Because Rabbi Yehuda's argument goes like this. Rabbi Yehuda says, we can't learn out from Ufinu Asabayis. Right? Because what's Ufinu Asabayis? That's Dvar HaRishus. You go to the Kohen and you say, you know, my house may have tsaras on it. So the Kohen says, okay, let's clear everything out of your house. So that's the situation where you're saving your money. But saving your money from Tumas Habayis, that's a chiddush, which we'll explain in just a moment why that's a chiddush. That's a chiddush. And you cannot extend a chiddush beyond the chiddush. So that means that according to Rav Yehuda, if you have tsaras on your body, and you go to the Kohen, so if there's a mitzvah consideration, like your chasan, like yantiv, so then the Kohen will say to you, okay, come back a week from now. Right? Let's deal with this a week from now. Enjoy being a chasan, enjoy the yantiv. Meaning those are mitzvahs. But if it's a money consideration and the tsaras is on your body, the Kohen says, no, we got to look at it right away. That's Rav Yehuda's position. Oh, what about Ufinu Asabayis? That's by your house. And that's a localized halacha, and we cannot extend that beyond your house. Why can't we extend it? Because it's a chiddush. Why is it a chiddush? Now we turn to the top of Chesamad Aleph. So the Gemara explains, the Ha'etzim V'Avan V'Ama Lo Mitamu V'Hachim Mitamu. Because generally in the world of Tumma Tahara, what do we know? Stones are not susceptible to tumah. Wood is not susceptible to tumah. Rashi over here points out, yes, it's true, if you take the wood and you turn it into a kli with a toch, so it will be mekabel tumah, but just... Tumas oel is a conductor of tumah, but the house itself does not become tumah. Here, in the world of Saras, the house itself becomes tumah.
Question, if the mitt inside a room, right? And somebody touches the wall from the outside.
It's a fair question. I don't know. But in other words, but Tumas Ohel just simply means that anything under the roof is going to become tummy. Right. But the roof itself is not tummy. Tumas Ohel as well. I mean, you walk into the house, you're going to become. Yeah.
Not the house itself.
No, but the house itself. No, but the Gemara's pointing out by Tsaras Batim, by Nige Batim, the house itself becomes Tameh, which is a Chiddush. That's exactly the point. We don't have this anywhere else in the Torah, where the house itself becomes Tameh, where stones and sticks and stones become Tameh. That's exactly the Gemara's point. So there, since it's a Chiddush, so the Torah says you want to save the contents of the house from becoming Tameh, that you're allowed to do. But Rabbi Yehuda's argument is you can't extend it beyond that point in time. Okay, good. So now continuing in the Gemara, V'hachim etamu, Rabbi Omer, it's derech. Now Rebbe's going to disagree. So the meaning, Rebbe, right, as we learned in the beginning of today's daf, the end of yesterday's daf, Rebbe has a kal v'chomer. Meaning Rebbe says, look, we are going to extend the halacha. We're going to extend the halacha from Nige Batim, which means that by Nige Batim, the Kohen could postpone his psak and say, listen, let's, before we say anything, bring everything out of the house. And then the argument, the kal v'chomer argument of Rebbe Yehuda was, well, if that's true regarding a Dvar HaRishus, then for sure it applies to a Dvar Mitzvah. What the Gemara now is arguing is that according to Rebbe, Itzrich, what's a Tzrichus, what's necessary? I need multiple Psukim to make the same point. Why do I need multiple Psukim? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Rebbe Amar Itzrich, the Ikas Rechmanu, V'yom Heira Ozbo. Because if I only had the Drush of V'yom, Havamino Dvar Mitzvah, and Dvar Rishus Lo. Well, I would have argued, well, that's only limited to the Mitzvah. Meaning a chasan, Rego. But not by Dvar Rishus, Kasra Rachman of Vitziva Kohen. That's why I have the Pasuk of Vitziva Kohen to tell me that this halacha, that the Kohen can delay his Psak, even applies if it's non monetary. V Kasra Rachman of Vitziva Kohen Ava Minahani Indalav Toma de Gufe. And if all I had was Vitziva Kohen, the Pasuk by Nige Batim, I would have thought the Kohen can delay his Psak, but only when it applies to your house, not when the Tsaras is on your body. Ava Toma de Gufe, Ema Mechze Chazile. But if it's tum on your body, if it's saras on your body, the kohen cannot delay his psak. Therefore, tzricha, I need both psukim to make sure that we know that this halacha applies not only to the saras of your house, but even to the saras that's on you as well. But in both cases, according to Rebbe, the kohen can delay the psak if it's a dvar mitzvah or even if it's a dvar rishus. So again, now according to Rava, there is a machlokas between Rebbe Yehuda versus Rebbe in the world of a kohen delaying his psak. According to Rebbe Yehuda, the kohen can delay his psak, but only by a dvar mitzvah, only if you're a chasan, only if it's regal. Then the kohen can say, come back to me a week from now. According to Rebbe, the kohen can always delay his psak, even if the consequence is only a financial consequence. Amar Mar.
So if somebody's daughter is about to get married and to develop Sarat the Kohen has the option of delaying the father's saying for something.
Right, correct. In other words, right. Because he's not going to be a mitzvah until the Kohen says so, and the Kohen can delay. Amar Mar, Yeshem Shata Robi, Bovi, Yeshem Shiata Roba. Okay, going back to what we darshaned earlier, some days the Kohen can see and some days the Kohen cannot see. My Mashma. Now the Gemara says, okay, understood, but how do we get that from the Pasuk? Meaning all the Pasuk is telling us is, and on the day that the Kohen sees you, and then the Gemara developed the whole drasha that, well, it doesn't have to be today, it could be another day. How do you know that? How do you see that from the Pasuk? So, Amar Abayi, Imken Lichtov Rechman of Bayom, my Uvayom Shmamina, Yeshom Shetaroa, Yeshom Shetaroba. Okay, so Abayi says it comes from the additional Vav. The Torah could have just simply said the word Bayom. It says Uvayom, so from the additional Vav, we learn out this drasha. Rava, Amar Kula Krayiserhu. Rava goes one step further. No, really, the truth of the matter is the whole pasuk is superfluous. Not the whole pasuk, but that whole phrase in the pasuk is superfluous. De'imkein lechzor rachmano uvehei ra'os. Just the pasuk just simply says, and when the Kohen sees, my uvayom, doesn't have to say, and when he sees it today, or on the day that he sees it. So shema mina, yesham she'ataro bo, v'yesham she'ataro bo. Now, the abaye, hahu mi baile bayom v'lo balayla. Now, according to Abaye, from the word bayom, don't we have another drasha? Meaning, how can Abaye use the word bayom to tell me about this halacha of delayed looking at tzaras? We need the pasuk to tell me another halacha, which is that when the kohen looks at tzaras, he has to look to the natural light of day. He cannot look at tzaras at night. So how do I know that? Bayom. So v'rava bayom b'layla menalei. So the Gemara says, and furthermore, according to Rava, where does Rava get the halacha from? Meaning, Rava doesn't disagree with the halacha. Where's the halacha generated from? So nafkalei milkom mare einei hakohen. So the Gemara says there's another pasuk. The pasuk says that it has to be le'einei hakohen. The kohen has to see it, meaning in its natural state. Anytime that you add another element in order for the kohen to be able to see it, so the Gemara says that's not seeing, which is interesting. The Gemara doesn't raise this as a question. I'll raise it as a question. Not that I know the answer, but let's say the kohen has some myopia. Right, and the only way the Kohen can see is with glasses. Is that going to be a problem? Is that going to be an issue? Now, we're talking about Saras over here, but it sounds like a reasonable question. But anyway, but the Gemara says the Kohen has to be able to see it in its natural state that we learn from Einei L'chol Mare Einei HaKohen. Okay, the Abaye Haomi Baile Lemuute Suma Ba'achas Me'enav. So Abaye says no, that pasuk tells me that a kohen that's blind in one eye and does not have the ability to see with both eyes, the bipolar vision. So the
if he's blind one eye, he cannot tell whether it's raised or not.
He has no. Yeah, right. He loses his depth perception.
Right.
Correct. So Abaye says that's what we learn out from this pasuk. L'chol mare einei hakohen, einei in the plural. So he has to be able to see with both eyes. Rav Nami may buy lelahachi, and the Gemara points out in Rava, you agree also the Kohen has to be able to see with both eyes. So in Achinami, so the Gemara says you're right, correct. Meaning that pasuk is already taken to teach me the halacha. The Kohen has to have the ability to see out both eyes in order to gain that depth perception. The ela bayom v'lo b'layla minale. So the Gemara says, okay, back to square one. Where do we know this halacha of Bayom Velo Balayla? Again, the pasuk of Einei tells me that the Kohen has to see it with both eyes. The pasuk of Uvayom tells me that the Kohen can see it when he wants to see it, and he doesn't have to look at it right away. So what about this very basic halacha that the Kohen has to see it during the day and not at night? So Nafkalei Micheneg Nirali Babayis. So he learned, the Gemara says, we learned it from another pasuk, which is Kanega Nirali. It appeared to me. So Li Velola Ori, meaning it appeared to me in its natural state, and I didn't need any aid in order to see it. Meaning I didn't need to present to bring an artificial light. It appeared to me. So the Gemara says, okay, but that pasuk is regarding Nigebatim. That pasuk is in relation to Tsaras that afflicts the house. Abaye says, if all I had was that pasuk, I would have said, by the house, there has to be natural daylight. You could have made an argument that if it's Tsaras on his body, so maybe artificial light would be enough to see it. I don't know why you would make a distinction. Could be going back to the Gemara's previous point that Nigebatim is a Chiddush, and so therefore we can extend beyond the Chiddush. Maybe, it's a suggestion. Either way, the Gemara says that's why Abaye needs both Psukim of Bayom to teach and make Kenegani Rali to tell me that the Kohen has to see it in its natural light, no artificial light. So basically, three halachas, just wrap it up, just three halachas that we just learned regarding Saras. Number one, the Kohen can see it whenever he wants to, meaning the Kohen does not have to see it right away, although we learned that, at least according to Rava, there could be a machlokas tanayim, whether or not that's true for a dvar mitzvah. It's certainly true for a dvar mitzvah. A chosan, a yantav, the Kohen can postpone the looking at Saras. Is that also true by dvar rishus? So according to Rava, that's a machlokas tanayim. That's one halacha that we went over. A second halacha is that when the Kohen sees it, he has to be able to look at it with both eyes. And third halacha is that when the Kohen sees it, he has to see it with natural sunlight.
You know, we often use the example of a baby having a tzarat and getting it written for an example, acid.
Correct.
So how could they have called the baby
delay.
Right.
Meaning there shouldn't be a psak. Right. In other words, just let it go and let there not be a psak. That's a great point. Okay, good.
I mean, that's like the best example of acid.
Correct. And now, based on our Gemara today, we could just avoid the whole problem.
Right.
Good. Okay, good. I like that. I don't have an answer.
One side question. Mm. Not the whole thing is right, but if somebody has right and is in a room, does he have
Yeah, correct. In other words, Saras is just like Ohel. It behaves in a similar way.
So for the person that's
right, you're in the room. Correct. Okay. Od Amar Rebbe Meir. Okay. Next Mishnah. We're on Chesam Ad Aleph. We're starting the next Mishnah. Rebbe Meir additionally says. Now, usually when the Mishnah starts off with the word Va'od, it's a continuation of the previous Mishnah. And so seemingly what you would expect is a similar discussion, meaning previously we were talking about Saras, and over here we had nothing to do with Saras. We're going to be talking about burial. So why does the Mishnah start with the word Va'od? So generally speaking, the Gemara here doesn't say it, but generally speaking, whenever you see the word Va'od, it doesn't have to be a continuation of the subject matter. It could even just simply be another kula. Meaning in the previous Mishnah, Rebbe Meir was Mekel. Well, what did he say in the previous Mishnah? That you can go to a Kohen on Moed, on Chol HaMoed, with Saras, and the Kohen, if he wants to, can look at it, and he doesn't have to be, and if he feels it's not Saras, he could say so, and if he feels it is Saras, he'll just simply say, listen, come back to me a week from now. Meaning, so that's one kula by Rebbe Meir, and now what this Mishnah is doing is introducing us to another kula. So it could just very, very well be that that's a Va'od. Vod means another kula by Rebbe Meir. Let me just give a quick introduction to what we're about to discuss, and we'll obviously then get right into it. We are going to discuss this in length in the third parak of Moed Katan, that is burial and avelos. Okay, avelos will take most of the Masechta when we start the third parak, which will actually be very, very soon. Second parak is very short. When we start the third parak, so we're going to get into Hilchos Avelos, and we know that if a person loses one of the seven relatives, so he is an avelos for 7 days. Okay, that's obviously the short of it. There's many more details. Fine. We are going to be discussing a very fine point within the world of Avelos, and that's the world of Likud Atzamos. Likud Atzamos, right, hard to relate to nowadays. It's not the minhag nowadays. But back then, what happened, you don't have to do this, but what happens sometimes is that burial takes place in a makeshift grave, and then at a later point in time, when after the decomposition of the flesh and all you're left with is just bones, the bones were dug up from the ground and then re-entered into a kivrei avos, into the family burial, right? Just to give a scenario, just so that we can at least relate a little bit better, meaning that, let's say, the burial happened unexpectedly, and obviously there's a mitzvah to bury right away. We're nowhere near the family burial. Remember, back then, travel was not as easy as it is now. So right now, okay, so there's a mitzvah to bury, so we'll bury right now. And then at a later opportunity, when we have the chance, we're going to then collect the bones and move them to the family burial plot. Okay, that's and this is what's called Likud Atzamos. Likud Atzamos has with it a little bit of avelos. When I say a little bit, I mean just but a day. Meaning that on the day that you do Likud Atzamos, you are an avel for that and only for that day. Okay, one day of avelos. We're going to be discussing in the third paragraph. There are other areas in halacha where there's a one-day avelos period. Okay, so this is but one example where there's going to be a one-day avelos period. So can I do Likud Atzamos during Chol HaMoed? I know it seems like a very impractical question to you and I, but that's the question that we're discussing in our Mishnah. So Odam Rabbi Meir Malakid Adam Atzamos Aviv Imam Min Neshe Simcha Yilo. So Rabbi Meir says that a person can do Likud Atzamos on Chol HaMoed. Okay, it's obviously it's a strange time to do it, but if he has the opportunity, he can do so. And then what's even stranger is the way Rabbi Meir says it, Mimnesha Simcha Hilo, because it's Simcha. Now you can understand the Gemara on a psychological level, meaning closure. Meaning what it provides is the idea that I know we buried, but we didn't bury where we wanted to bury him. He wasn't buried with Kivrei Avos in the family burial plot, and now we're going to finally have closure. We're going to bury him in the family burial plot. So it's Simcha is not really, if we're going to give it a word, I'm not sure if Simcha would be the word. The word we may choose, I know we're speaking English right now, but some form of relief, right? Closure, conclusion, right? It'll be like a nechama, right? The word simcha is a strange word, and the Gemara is going to pick up on that. Meaning the Gemara is going to note how simcha over here seems to be just a strange word to use in this context. Okay, so stay tuned. We're going to discuss that. Bottom line is, Rabbi Meir allows you to do it. Okay, the analysis we'll get to in the Gemara, but he allows you to do it. And Rabbi Yehuda, sorry,
yes,
Rabbi, thank you. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Avel Hulo. Rabbi Yossi says, no, that's Avelos. Meaning basically what you're doing on Chol HaMoed is you're introducing Avelos to yourself. You can't do that. So basically what Rabbi Yossi is saying is, you can, that's not Simcha, that's Avelos. You can't introduce Avelos on Chol HaMoed. You'll wait till after Chol HaMoed. You'll do the Likud Atzamos after Chol HaMoed. Lo ya'orer adam ameso, v'lo yasbidenu kodem larego, shoshim yom. A person cannot literally arouse himself over the dead, meaning basically bring up the death of one of his seven relatives, ostensibly others as well, but I'll keep it in the world of Avelos, and not eulogize before Yontif 30 days. Okay, or let me put in a somewhat better English sentence. You cannot eulogize within 30 days of Yantav. Okay. Now it sounds like a strange halacha, meaning we're not talking about on Yantav itself. We're talking about 30 days before Yantav. Why should that be? So stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that very question. Why no eulogies 30 days prior to Yantav? Okay, Uriminu. Now, first and foremost, we know how it works. We always do this. We handle the Mishnah step by step. We go from the first point, and then we move on. So we're going back to the first point of the Mishnah, and that's the halacha of Likud Atzamos. So the Gemara here quotes a brisa. Amalaki Atzamos Aviv Imo Areza Misabel Aleihem Kol Hayom Ula Erev Ein Misabel Aleihem. When you do Likud Atzamos for your mother, for your father, so you're an avel for that entire day, right? As I discussed before the Mishnah. So this is a scenario in halacha where you're an avel for just one day, and ula'arav in misabalem, but the day ends and that's it. In other words, your avelos is over. Okay, so we say one day, we don't even mean one day. It means from the time of Likud Avails until night, so you're an Aval.
Does he do Kriya also?
Right, right. Many sub-questions within this discussion of to what degree you're an Aval. Right, the Rishonim discuss it. Right, it's important, but I didn't, to be honest with you, I didn't go through all the Rishonim over here in terms of all the sub-questions. And also, it's interesting, the Brisa over here says Avi V'Imo, meaning ostensibly would be true for any of the other of the Krovim, meaning there are five other relatives that a person's misabel over. Is this halacha only for mother or father? Does it apply to the others as well? So again, many sub-questions. But just dealing with the simple pshat in the Gemara is bothered, meaning we're really, as Rashi points out, we're asking on Rebbe Meir, meaning Rebbe Meir, how can you allow Likud HaSamos and Chol HaMoed? When Likud HaSamos happens, so you're an Avel. You can't be an Avel on Chol HaMoed. Like, what do you... Basically, what the Gemara is saying is, Rav Yossi sounds right. How can you do that? So, the Amar Rav Chista, now, Tosus points out, the Gemara didn't have to bring in this point to Rav Chista, but Rav Chista is like co-joined with the Braisa. So we're going to say it over. I feel it's strong lo besadino, even if it's wrapped, even if the body's wrapped up in a sheet. Now, what exactly that means? Take a look at Rashi over here, right? Rashi says sheino malaktan. It's that you're not even doing likud ve'ena roa sa hareze misabu kol manshalo nikburu. In other words, even if you don't actually see the bones are wrapped up in a sheet. Still, if it requires, if the bones required to be dug up and dug back into the ground again, so this. This will trigger the halach of Likud HaTzamos, and you have to sit avails for one day. Either way, the point, of course, being you're novel. How can you be novel during Chol HaMoed? So Amar Abaye Ema Mibnesha Simchas HaRegel Alav. So Abaye says, so we're misunderstanding the Mishnah, meaning the way I presented the Mishnah, right? Just as a simple pshat on the Mishnah. Is that it's comforting to him and therefore provides joy to him. The Gemara says, no, that's not the Pshat in the Mishnah. The Pshat in the Mishnah is Simchas HaRegel. The Simcha is not because you are bearing the bones you're happy. No, the Simcha is an objective Simcha that comes from Yontif. And basically, the way we're going to understand Rabbi Meir now is that the Simchas HaYontif is going to override the Avelus of Likud HaTzamos. Let's put it this way. The Avelus of Likud HaTzamos, it's not an Avelus Min HaTorah.
It's artificial.
Not artificial, but, right, correct. In other words, it's a lower level Avelus. Meaning, we're going to discuss, we'll get to the third paragraph, we'll talk about this in more detail. Meaning, real Avelus. I say real Avelus. I mean, you know, the bona fide Avelus of Rachman al-Islam, somebody loses one of his seven Krovim, and you're an Avel for 7 days. Okay. Debate, is that the Arais, is that the Rabbanan? Okay, that's a debate. But in other words, I don't know how else to say it, so I'll just say it. It might not be the best words to choose, but that's real Avelus. Here we're talking about Likud HaTzamos. It's a lower level Avelus. Rabbi Meir's point is, you could do it on Chol HaMoed, the Simcha of Yontov is just going to basically take out any Avelus that's going to be generated from this act of Likud HaTzamos. That's all. Meaning, that's the way to understand Rebbe Meir. Not a psychological pshat in the Mishnah, but just, it's the value of Yontif and Chol HaMoed and Simchas Yontif is just going to basically take care of any Avelus that's generated from Likud HaTzamos. That's the pshat in the Mishnah. V'lo ya'arer al meso, continuing. Milo ya'arer al meso. What does that mean? So, Amarav kad hadasav dana. Okay, it sounds like such a modern phenomena. It's not a modern phenomena. You know, Rachman al-Islam, yeah, somebody dies, and so what do you, right, if you have a shul and you have a rav, so great. So in other words, the rav is going to be the satan, he'll be the one eulogizing. But if a person doesn't have a shul, doesn't have a rav, so they hire somebody, right? In the business, they call it a rent-a-rabbi. It's not the best term, but you know, you understand. It's not a modern phenomenon. That's, in other words, they back then they had professional eulogizers, and when I say professional, I mean they were hired, right? So you hired somebody to, right? Obviously he was good at it. He did a lot, and you know obviously he made them good. But in other words, but You wanted to properly mourn somebody. You wanted to properly be. You wanted to be in the proper mood. So what do? So you hire. You hire somebody. So the word ya'arer ameso. So the Gemara says it's exactly what it means. It means hiring somebody. And by marav amre yifkulin ame kol marire liba. And Eretz Yisrael, somebody would come around and cry with me over my bitter heart. But basically the same basic idea. Somebody would be coming around and be collecting money in order to properly eulogize. And what did the good? Now we know what the Mishnah is talking about. What the Mishnah say? What's the halacha? You can't do it within 30 days of Yantif. The obvious question: well, why not? So let's go on in the Gemara. So Kodim Aregel Shoshim Yom, Maishna Shoshim Yom. The Gemara asks a very simple question: well, why not? And why 30 days? So Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Maisa BaAdam Echad Shekines Maos Alos Aregel. So the Gemara says an incident, an episode, one of those strange times that happens in the Gemara, that basically it's anecdotal, meaning the Gemara is going to give us one incident, and based on an incident, the rabbis made it zero. So, right, you should expect me to say this, because I say this every time. It's I don't think it's the anecdote, it's the incident that provoked the incident I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the English language. It happens. Even though it's my first language, but the incident is reflective of a general feeling. What was the incident? So there was a person who basically put away money to go. In other words, he was planning on going to Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, right? Aliyah Larego, and Ubasaf Dan V'Amen Al Pesach Beso, and then a knock on the door, and there was a eulogizer there. V'Natlasan Ishto. So the wife grabs the money, but not Sasan Lo, and she gives the money to the Safdan, and Nimna Vala. And now that money that they put away for Aliyah Larego, so that money was spent on the eulogizing, and so they didn't do the mitzvah of Aliyah Larego. So Ba'osa Shah Armor, Lo Yara Amesa Valiya Sedna Kun Larego Shoshamiyah. And so at that point the Chachamim said, this is no good. So you know what? That's it. A ban on eulogies 30 days prior to Yontif. Okay, it doesn't fully answer the question. We now have a better understanding. So 30 days, but why 30? Why the number 30? So we can all guess, meaning Rashi over here doesn't say it, but we can all guess that 30 days, right, that's when you start thinking about Yontif, right? Stuart did this at the end of Masechet Megillah. Shoshim Yom Kodem L'Chag, 30 days before Yontif. So already the Rav gets up there and he starts darshaning about Yontif. So 30 days before Yontif, our mind is on Yontif. So if our mind is on Yontif, so we start taking the money, we start putting it aside, so we can pay for the plane ticket to go to Eretz Yisrael. So good. So the reason why the Chachamim banned eulogies 30 days is because, again, the eulogizer would come and he would collect money, and the money that you planned on putting away for the eulogy, you're going to end up spending now. I'm sorry, the money that you were planning on going to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, you now spent on the eulogies. Shmuel Amar, okay, so that's one reason why 30 days. Shmuel Amar, Lefi She'en Ameis Mishtakech Menalei Shloshim Yom. Shmuel gives a different explanation. No, it's not a financial issue, it's an emotional issue. On Yontif, you have to be happy, right? Simchas Yontif, it's a theme that we hit already a number of times. There's a mitzvah to be happy on Yontif. And what's going to happen? So you start eulogizing within 30 days of Yontif, so you're going to be sad. And that sadness extends for 30 days, right? The Gemara gives us a basic rule. Shmuel says, "Ein ames mishtakech min alev." Right? The dead is not forgotten in the heart for 30 days afterwards. So you have a person gives a powerful eulogy, so you're going to be sad for the next 30 days. So if you're going to give that eulogy within 30 days of Yontif, so you're going to go into Yontif and you're going to be sad. And the Gemara says, and the Chachamim wanted to avoid that. So the way to avoid that is by not giving eulogy within 30 days of Yontif. My Beinai, the Gemara points out, the difference between Rav and Shmuel now is going to be a very simple difference. Meaning for Rav, it's a financial consideration. For Shmuel, it's an emotional consideration. So let's say in your town you have free eulogizers, right? The minhag of your community is that the eulogizers don't take money. Okay, they do it pro bono. So according to Rav, if the issue is a financial issue, so then no problem. So then you can give a eulogy within 30 days of Yontif because it doesn't cost. And according to Rav, the only consideration is a financial consideration. But according to Shmuel, it's emotional consideration. So if it's an emotional consideration, so even if he doesn't, and not asking for money, still, it's you can't eulogize within 30 days. So the Gemara points out that there's going to be a nafka mina, a practical difference between them. Okay. In chofen kuchen ukvaris b'moed. We're up to the next Mishnah. Digging up of graves in general, right? I'm sure intuitively we all would have guessed. All right, somebody's not dead yet, so you don't dig their grave. Meaning that's I understand planning, right? Some people are very organized, right? Planning is fine. The digging of the grave, however, before the person's dead, like that should be no. Meaning that's something you shouldn't do. But the back then, we're really the discussion over here is basically preparing a cemetery, not for anyone in particular, but just in general. Meaning, right, death is inevitable, and the cemetery knows that there's people going to need it, so they generally dig. Right? It's not I know using a modern term, but it's pre-need, but it's not pre-need for anyone specific. It's just the cemeteries are just doing it. Just in anticipation of somebody dying.
But isn't it Sarfat Sibor?
Oh, okay, good. Excellent point. So, Ein Chofren Kuchen Ukvaros B'Moed. So the Mishnah says that you can't dig the Kuchen Ukvaros. Now, there are two different types of graves. One is in a cave, and the other one is with a building built together with it. The Gemara is going to make that point. But basically, let's just deal with the basic issue. You can't dig graves on Chol HaMoed. Rashi over here points out, look at the first Rashi in the Mishnah. Litzorch mesim shedarchem lach rokuchem mikvaros lizamnan, litzorch mesim shiyamusu. Meaning, we're not talking about when somebody's already dead. If somebody's dead already, it goes without saying, obviously. Right? You bury. There's a mitzvah to bury. And so, obviously, you're gonna dig the grave for the person who died. Avi also will be pushed off till after Yantiv. We'll talk about that in the third parak of the Masechta. But right now, we're just dealing with the burial. Rashi points out over here, and you see the Tosfos on the side, the second Tosfos, the longer one, agreement with Rashi. We're talking about where they're burying it and nobody's dead right now. That you can't do on Chol HaMoed. It's the Rashi says, Tircha Yaseirei. Right? It's unnecessary work right now. Okay? So, Ein Chofren Kuchen Ukvaros B'Moed, Ava Mechanchen Es HaKuchen B'Moed. But what you can do is you can be Mechanech Es HaKuchen. I'll give away the Gemara. The Gemara will tell us that the Mishnah here is talking about adjusting the length of the grave. Meaning it's too long, it's too short. So if it's just an adjustment, that you're allowed to do. But to dig it from scratch, that you cannot do. V'osin nivreches b'moed. You can make a ditch in the ground on moed. Now Rashi over here explains, what is the Mishnah talking about? For laundry. Right, I know it's a little bit strange that we're talking about laundry in the middle of this Mishnah. It seems to be a little bit out of place. It could be that we're just talking about digging ditches in the ground, so that's why we're talking about laundry. But back in the good old days, right, the laundry pit, all right, they would dig a hole in the ground, fill it with water, and that would be the laundry pit. So, osin evreches b'moed, you're allowed to do that in Chol HaMoed. Now, right, correct. Meaning, according to Rashi, what does that mean? You're allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed? So we're going to discuss this also later in the Masechta. Under certain circumstances, the answer is yes. You are limited, but you are allowed to do some laundry on Chol HaMoed. Okay. The Aron im ha-meis b'chatzer. You can make your Aron, a coffin. Right? Different menhagim around the world, and in Yerushalayim, they don't bury in a coffin. Okay? Most, I think everywhere else, they bury in a coffin. So the... are you allowed to actually make a coffin on Chol HaMoed? So according to our Mishnah, according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, yes, but the mace has to be in the chatzer. So when someone's going by and seeing that we are there with the carpentry and all the tools and the saw and the hammer and what are we doing? So if the mace is in the chatzer, so it'll be total understanding. Oh, right, okay, good. We totally understand what's going on. Rav Yehuda Oser... Ela im ken yesh imo nesarim. Rav Yehuda says that you can't make a coffin unless you already have prepared slats of wood. Meaning, if you don't have the prepared slats of wood, if all you have is a tree and you're shaving the tree down into beams, then you cannot make a coffin. Now, I don't fully understand Rabbi Yehuda's position, meaning, and if you have a dead person, what are you supposed to do? Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda wants you to bury without a coffin? I don't fully understand Rabbi Yehuda's position, but Rabbi Yehuda says, if you have the beams, you can make a coffin. If you don't have the beams, you can't make a coffin. On Chol HaMoed. Okay, so...
How about the bias? The chutzers that have there. Or maybe a bias, you could even do that.
Yeah, agreed. In other words, the point of the chassid is just simply so that when somebody's walking by, he'll understand what you're building. And he'll understand why you're building. Right, a coffin. Okay, good. So, but I don't fully understand Rabbi Yehuda. All right. My kuchen, my kvaros, I'm Rabbi Yehuda kuchen be chafiru kvaros beminyan. Okay, so the Gemara just gives us an understanding of the Mishnah. The Mishnah, when it says kuchen, it means... dishes, what's it called? Holes in the ground, right? Baba Basra, right? Remember, I know it was a long time ago. Baba Basra, we talked about how they basically had catacombs, and they would bury in a cave. They would bury in the caves themselves. And Kvaros is a binyan, a type of building, right? You'll see, right? You go to a cemetery. Sometimes there's the body's buried in the ground, but then there's a building built on top of it. The Braisa makes exactly the same point. Okay, like I gave away, the Gemara over here points out, we're talking about extending the hole that we made, or shortening the hole that we made. Right, shortening, by shortening we mean adding stones or dirt in order so that it shortens. Okay, that you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. Osi nevreches, my nevreches, I'm a Rav Yehuda zubikia. So Rav Yehuda says it's a ditch in the ground. The Atayin nevreches v'abikia, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. It talks about nevreches and a bikia. I'm a Rabbi Vitem Rav Kahana, Gia Ubar Gia. So the Gemara says a big hole, little hole, in other words, different size ditches. That's all it means. V'aron ima meis bechatzer, tanin lahad the Tan Rabbanan. Osin kol sorcha emes. A person dies, Rachman al-Son, a person dies in Chol HaMoed, so you can do Kol Sarche HaMeis. Right? Vilna Gaon, I believe, died in Chol HaMoed. Right? I think so. Chol HaMoed Pesach. Okay. Huh?
He died on Sukkos.
Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Oh, okay. Partial memory. But yeah.
1797.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Serious fan of the Gaon. So the Osten called Sorche Hameis. So you could do all Sorche Hameis. Goes is in Lo Sa'aro, you can cut the hair. Mechaps in Lo Ksuso, wash the clothing. Right, the Tachrichen. Osten Lo Aron Minusarin HaMinusarin Me'erev Yom Tov. You can make a coffin, but only with beams that were prepared from before Yom Tov. So again, just like our Mishnah, meaning like Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, you can make a coffin, but only if the beams were already prepared. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Af Mevin Eitzel Menasran Bitzina Besoch Beisa. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, even if you don't have beams. In other words, if all you have are just wood, logs, so you can turn the logs into beam in order to make coffins. So again, like the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, meaning in the Braisa, the Tanakhama of the Braisa is like Rabbi Yehuda of the Mishnah, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel of the Braisa is like the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. Okay. It is interesting. I'll just point it out right now that according to Rishim ben Gamliel the Braisa, if you don't have beams, so you can take your log and you can make the beams out of the log, but you have to do so privately, meaning in the privacy of your own home. Now Tosis over here points out, right? If Marisain is the issue, so then it shouldn't matter whether you do it in your courtyard or whether you do it in your house. We have a general rule. Anytime the Chachamim made a gzera of Marisayan, afilu bechadre chadarim. So then even in your house, you cannot do it. So over here, Tosos, very cryptically points out that, he doesn't explain, but he says, for whatever reason, this is not a violation of that rule. Okay, take a look at Tosos inside. He doesn't give explanation. He just simply cryptically points out, it's not a problem of Marisayan bechadre chadarim. Okay, and that obviously is going to require more explanation. We're going to go on. We're going to finish the daf. Ein nosen noshen b'moed. can't marry a woman on Chol HaMoed. Lo Basulos, Lo Amanos, the woman's a virgin, the woman's a widow. Lo Miyavne Mimnesha Simcha Hilo. And Yibum also you can't do on Chol HaMoed. It's a Simcha. And you can't do it. And the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. What better time to do it than Chol HaMoed? Meaning that's the time of Simcha. Right? So, okay, the Gemara is going to ask that question. Avamachzer who is Grushaso? But the man divorces a woman, and the two of them decide, you know what, let's try this a second time. And they make a second go of it. So now the halacha is, right, the Torah says, it's mefurish in the Torah, that if she remarries another man, so she will always then be forbidden to her original husband. The machzer grushasa would only work if she does not remarry in the interim. So ava machzer grushasa, so that you're allowed to do in Chol HaMoed. A man can take back his divorcee on Chol HaMoed. But also isha tachshita b'moed, a woman can do, I'll say makeup, but it's more than makeup, right? Rabbi Yehuda Amar lo sasa b'mnesha nivohula. Rabbi Yehuda says to do sid, some sort of, I don't know enough about these things. It's some sort of facial application. So he can't do that on Chol HaMoed because, it's a treatment and it'll make her look better, but not in the short term, in the long term. Hahejo tofer kedarko, a person who is not a professional can stitch on Chol HaMoed because he's not a professional. Ha'umen machlid, but if you're a professional stitcher, so you can stitch, but you got to do so in a somewhat unusual manner. The Gemara is going to discuss that in more detail later on. Umisargin es hamitos, Rabbi Yossi Omer mimatchin, and stitching of the bed. We're very spoiled. I'm sure we all know that. We sleep on springs in the good old days. So what were their beds? The beds were four slats and a stitching that was done between the slats, and that stitching was basically what you slept on. How do you stitch the bed on Chol HaMoed? That's what the Mishnah here is describing, right? Sirug or mematzkin, and later on we'll discuss more of what exactly that is. Let's just start with the Gemara. Let's just go through the quick four positions. The four opinions. First, let's ask the question. What's the big deal of getting married on Chol HaMoed? Sounds like it's a great idea. The Mishnah says you can't do it. Well, why not? So, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, V'chein Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshia, V'Amar La, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Answer number one, L'fisha in Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. Because you are mixing up Simchas. Meaning, Chol HaMoed, that's one Simcha. Marriage, that's another Simcha. Keep them separate. Keep the two simchas separated from one another. If you look at Tosos on Lefisha Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha, Tosos says, you know what this is very similar to? Ein Osim Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos. We don't want to bundle mitzvos together. Right? You have an opportunity to bundle a whole bunch of mitzvos together. The Gemara in Pesachim says, don't do that. Right? Why not? Because you are, look what you're doing to the mitzvah. You're bundling mitzvos together. That's not a way to treat a mitzvah. So here too, keep your simchas Chol HaMoed and your simchas of marriage separate from one another. That's explanation number one. Explanation number two. Rava b'Ravonam b'Mneishim b'Niach simchas Raga b'Osik b'Simchas Yishto. So second explanation, similar, but what's going to happen is that you're going to get so involved in the simcha of simcha getting married, you're going to forget about the simcha of Chol HaMoed. Amalei Abala Rav Yosef Hadar Rav b'Ravuna d'Ravu. This is not just the opinion of Rav Huna, it's Rav's position. What you're supposed to be happy on Yontiv, meaning Samachta Bichagecha, be involved with the Simchas HaChag. You get married, you're going to forget all about the Simchas HaChag. A third suggestion, Ulama Mimea Toreach. Getting married is wonderful, but anyone who made a chasna, God willing, it's stressful. There's a tremendous amount of work, and yes, it's a simcha, and yes, at the same time, it's also it's an unusual amount of stress, and you're not going to be able to enjoy your yontif, your Chol HaMoed. And finally, Rabbi Yitzchak Nachman b'nei bito piria v'rivia. And the fourth opinion in the Gemara is that you can't get married on Chol HaMoed because it's bito peru urivu. What does that mean? Rashi explains. If the halacha would have been that you and I could get married in Chol HaMoed, so all of us would get married in Chol HaMoed. Every wedding, every hall would be scheduled for Chol HaMoed. Meaning, why take up a work day, a work week to get married when we can all get married in the Chol HaMoed? And basically, everyone's going to push off weddings until Chol HaMoed, and there'll be bittul peruvu, meaning that'll be opportunities lost to create a next generation, a new child, mitzvah peruvu. So therefore, it'll be a bittul peruvu. So four explanations in the Gemara in terms of why there's an issur to get married on Chol HaMoed. Okay, so just quickly wrap up. So today we finished up the topic of tzaras. A kohen can delay the looking of tzaras. Okay, Ben, I really liked your question. It was an excellent question. The likud atzamos cannot be done on Chol HaMoed, although that's subject to a machlokas, Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. But we pass like Rav Yossi. Likud atzamos cannot be done in Chol HaMoed. And finally, the digging up the graves was a third topic. And our fourth topic was getting married on Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah says that one cannot get married on Chol HaMoed for four possible explanations given in the Gemara.